Good morning and happy Sunday. My name is Jim DeJunis, and I'm reading to you today from the North Carolina Reading Service, and the name of our program is Reflections. And for the next 30 minutes, we'll be reading to you from the Holy Bible, both New and Old Testament scripture. We read a daily devotional called Jesus Calling, and of course, we'll pray at the beginning and here at the end. So let's begin with prayer. And Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this glorious day, this day that you made for us, this day that we see you and live you and know you and feel you through all of our interactions with our family members, our loved ones, and programming like this. Father, we ask that the words that are read today are your words, and that they're listened to in that manner, and that they're spoken to of in that manner. Lord, we thank you for the abundance of blessings you provide us, the love that we have, the peace that we have, and may we be grounded in your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. So, excuse me. We're going to go ahead and read Jesus Calling for today's daily devotional, and it reads, "Give up the illusion that you deserve a problem-free life. Part of you is still hungry for the resolution of difficulties. This is false hope. As I told my disciples, in the world you will have trouble. Link your hope not to problem-solving in this life, but to the promise of an eternity of problem-free life in heaven. Instead of seeking perfection in this fallen world, pour your energy into seeking me, the perfect one. It is possible to enjoy me and glorify me in the midst of adverse circumstances. In fact, my light shines most brightly through believers who trust me in the dark. That kind of trust is supernatural, a production of my indwelt spirit. When things seem all wrong, trust me anyway. I am much less interested in right circumstances than in right responses to whatever comes your way." This devotional has two scripture readings to help support that. And the first is from John chapter 16, verse 33, and it reads, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." And Psalm 112, verses 4 and verses 7, "Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and compassionate, the righteous man. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord." Amen and amen. So last week, in our reading of Matthew, we continued with the various teachings of Jesus. He was transfigured before Peter, James, and John. He predicted his death for the first time, and he asked us to be childlike with our hearts, and that those hearts would be innocent and have humility. Jesus wants you, and he wants me, to believe in him and to put God first in our lives. I'm going to say yes to that. I'm going to ask you to say that yes to that as well, putting God first in our lives. So we're going to pick up with our reading. We're picking up in Matthew chapter 21, and then we have a reflection in chapter 22 that we'll get to as well. So it reads, chapter 21, "As they approached Jerusalem and came to the Bethphage of the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away.' This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. And the prophet said, 'Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" And that was an Isaiah reading, and that would have been Isaiah 62 that this scripture was quoted from. And we pick up with verse 6. "The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did and the children shouting in the temple area, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read, 'From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise'?" And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. Early in the morning, as he was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, but found nothing except leaves. Then he said to it, "May you never bear fruit again." Immediately the tree withered. When the disciples saw this, they were amazed. "How did the fig tree wither so quickly?" they asked. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what has done to this fig tree, but also you could say to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. "By what authority are you doing these things?" they asked. "And who gave you this authority?" Jesus replied, "I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or from men?" They discussed it among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say from men, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." And Jesus said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." "I will not," he answered. But later he changed his mind, and that son went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. And he answered, "I will, sir." But he never went. Which of these two did what the father wanted? "The first," they answered. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of heaven ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one another, killed one another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. "They will respect my son," he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance." So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will be done to these tenants? "He will bring those wretches to a wretched end," they replied, "and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants, who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to the people who will produce its fruit. He who falls on this stone will be broken into pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. I'll tell you, 21 is really eye-opening and amazing to listen to. As I was preparing for today's reading, it really spoke to me. And how many times have I read that scripture and didn't really appreciate the tie from back to the Pharisees, of which sometimes I am that Pharisee. Sometimes I am that person that says I believe but doesn't act that way, or professes one thing and does another. And that's exactly what the Pharisees do. They try to look good in front of others, and then their heart is somewhere else. And that's not what God's looking for. God's looking for that son that perhaps said no initially, but wound up going, just like the parable said. And I long to be that son that that gets there. Chapter 22. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like the king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who he had invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants, and he said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have all been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite the banquet to anyone you find.' So their servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guest, he noticed a man that was there not wearing wedding clothes. 'Friend,' he asked, 'how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" Many are invited, but few are chosen. "Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to go along with the Herodians. 'Teacher,' they said, 'we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion of this? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?' But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, 'You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me a coin used for paying the tax.' They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, 'Whose portrait is this, and whose inscription?' 'Caesar's,' they replied. Then he said to them, 'Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's.' When they heard this, they were amazed, so they left him and went away." That same day, the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him with a question. "Teacher," they asked, "Moses told us that if a man dies without having children, his brother must marry the widow and have children for him. Now there were seven brothers among us. The first one married and died, and since he had no children, he left his wife to his brother. The same thing happened to the second and third, right on down to the seventh. Finally, the woman died. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be of the seven, since all of them were married to her?' Jesus replied, 'You are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. At the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. But about the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what God said to you? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but he is the God of the living. When the crowds heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. That's a reflection verse for today, and I'm going to reread that and pick it up on chapter 22, verse 36. The question was, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commands. Man, love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind. That's what our calling is. There is a time in our lives where we have this great emptiness. And we fill that emptiness. Sometimes it's with vices, sometimes it's with hobbies, sometimes it's with things that are maybe not so good for us. Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's adultery or alcohol or drugs. Maybe it's self-pity. Maybe it's abuse, power-hungry. But what we should recognize, just what Jesus taught us here in chapter 22, verse 37, that void should be filled with loving the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That's where our time and our devotion and our emptiness, that's where we should be filled. That's where we should have our opportunities to serve others and to love others in his name. Because if we love God that much, then we'll do what he asks us to do, which is to love our neighbors. If we love God to the point where there's complete trust and complete submission and obedience and praise and glory and honor, then the other stuff will naturally happen. So that's why it's the greatest. That's why it's the first. And that's what we're called to do. Verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? The son of David, they replied. He said to them, How is it then that David, speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord? For he says, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If then David calls him Lord, then how can he be his son? No one could say a word in reply, and from that day on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Chapter 23. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must obey them and do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for men to see. They make their paracletes wide and their tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and at the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted in the marketplaces and to have men call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have only one master, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher, the Christ. The greatest among you will be your servant. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You shut yourselves. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when he comes, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much as the son of hell as you are. Woe to you, blind guides! You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing, but if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing, but if anyone swears by the gift on it, he is bound by his oath. You blind men, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and everything on it. And he who swears by the temple swears by it and by the one who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and by the one who sits on it. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead man's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to be people of righteousness, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You build tombs for the prophets and decorate the graves of the righteous. And you say, if we have lived in the days of our forefathers, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. So you testify against yourselves that you are the defendants of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up, then, the measure of the sin of your forefathers. You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell? Therefore I am sending you prophets and wise men and teachers. Some of them you will kill and crucify. Others you will flog in your synagogues and pursue them from town to town. And so upon you will come all the righteous blood that has been shed on the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you have murdered between the temple and the altar. I tell you the truth, all this will come upon this generation. It does not seem like Jesus was happy with those teachers of the law and the Pharisees. Verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you have killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you. How often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Chapter 24. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came to him and called his attention to the buildings. Do you all see these things? He asked. I tell you the truth. Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Jesus answered, Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places, and all these things are the beginning of the birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of the house go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for a pregnant woman and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath, for when there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, "Look, here is the Christ," or "There he is," do not believe it, for false Christs and false witnesses will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect. If that were possible. See, I have told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you, "There he is, out in the desert," do not go out. Or, "Here he is, in the inner rooms," do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, vultures will gather. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky, with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now, learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you will know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about the day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the day of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the handmill, one will be taken, the other one left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have left the house to be broken into. So you must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is a faithful and a wise servant whom the master will put in charge of the servants of the household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master never finds him. So when he returns, I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. Well, we're at the end of our time this afternoon, and I want to praise God for the beautiful reading of Matthew. And I also want to thank you for listening to our program today. Again, this is Reflections, and we're reading to you from the North Carolina Reading Service. My name is Jim DeJunis, and please provide feedback to us by calling 919-832-5138. May God's peace be with you this day and every day. Peace.